invite you to turn with me tonight to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, as we read together the first 19 verses, taking a specific notice of verses 8 and 9 in connection with Lord's Day 39, as we continue to make our way through our consideration of the Catechism and particularly the Ten Commandments. In that section of gratitude, we begin tonight with that second table of the law, the one that the children love the most, honor your father and your mother, the fifth commandment. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104, as we first give expression to that answer. Question 104, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Proverbs chapter 1, hear now the word of God, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. May God add His blessing to the reading and consideration of His Word tonight. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the quickest, most common response of a child when, for example, an older brother or sister tells that child to do what that child doesn't want to do, or anybody tries to tell that child who is not that child's mom or dad? What's the quickest, most common response, most natural response? You're not my mom. You're not my dad. And I suspect at some point in time in our lives, we've all done this. But it's fascinating, isn't it? Because it's at times like that that the authority of parents is recognized the most. As if to say, if you were my mom, or if you were my dad, I would do whatever you asked me to do, no matter what. Is that how it is for you boys and girls? How about you young people? Yet that is how children are called to respond to their parents at all times. Indeed, the fifth commandment is about authority. God-given authority. Parental authority. But also, as the Catechism makes clear, it's also about how to respond to all lawful authority, all the lawful authority that God has placed over us, even as Paul in Romans 13 talks about the governing authorities that God has established. Yet, in a sense, the foundation for all earthly authority is the authority of the parents. That's the first office that children meet in their lifetime. The future of the church and society, for example, is shaped in the home. And in a sense, there will be no honor and respect for other authority without first honoring God's gift of parents. Now, we may not all be parents here tonight, but all of us are, or all of us have been children, and this commandment still applies to each and every one of us as children or as those in the covenant community, like parents and teachers and believers in the context of the church who have an influence over our covenant children. And therefore, together we are called to honor God's gift of parents, first of all, for their God-ordained purpose. Boys and girls, parents have a purpose that has been given to them by God. And that God-ordained purpose includes that they have authority. And that parents have authority given to them by God is clear in what God commands parents to do, as we see in Scripture. For example, in Deuteronomy 6, parents are commanded to teach their children the commandments of God. When Israel crossed the Jordan River and set up the memorial, those 12 memorial stones, they were told that when your children ask in the future, what's that all about? You are to teach them some very important stuff. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells fathers to bring up their children. That parents have authority given to them by God is clear in what God commands parents to do, but it's also clear in how God commands children to respond. For example, in Proverbs 1 verse 8, listen, my son, do not forsake. Or as Paul says in Ephesians 6 again, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents have authority as His representatives. And that is seen probably most vividly in their responsibility, but that responsibility is also included in what Paul says in Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Parental authority is a part of that authority that has been established by God. As the Catechism says, that last line that we recited together, through them God chooses to rule us. And therefore parents in particular are called to be the hands and the feet and the mouth of God in a specific relationship with the children that God gives them. Because those children belong to Him. And parents are then, as His representatives, to govern for Him. And again, I'm including here all that God-given authority. As believers, all who have influence, especially in the context of the church or in the Christian school, all who have that relationship with these children, to govern for Him. To govern, we know, means to lead, to direct, to rule in a particular way that the one being governed follows a specific path for the good of that one who is being governed. Parents have authority to govern their children, not in any way they should choose, but for God, as God's representatives, in the way that is pleasing to God. And along with that authority, which is a part of their God-ordained purpose, that purpose includes to have responsibility then, to carry out responsibility. And that responsibility includes to nurture them. As Paul says in Ephesians 6, to bring them up, to raise them, to provide for them, to do what's best for them, to teach them, in a sense, how to survive in this life. Jesus said in Matthew 7, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, to give them good gifts, boys and girls, not what you think is good, but what is good for you. To nurture you, to prepare you for life. Yet again, this nurture, as I mentioned a moment ago, is not to be in some sort of any old generic way or in the way that the parents see fit. The Catechism calls parents to correct and to punish. The older version says it a little bit differently. I like it a little bit better. It calls for instruction and discipline. And we know that there is a variety of instruction and discipline in the world today. All kinds of it. But the older version of the Catechism gets specific there as well. It calls for good instruction and discipline. In reality, there is only two kinds of instruction and discipline, good or bad. That which follows the way of wisdom, that which follows the way of foolishness, that which is righteous or that which is unrighteous. When Solomon says in verse 8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching," the context assumes, from what Solomon has already said, setting up the book of Proverbs, the context assumes that this instruction of the father, this teaching of the mother, will be according to the fear of the Lord. Instructing them according to the reverence, the awe of God. That's the first task of parents. To nurture the heart of a child. We have the responsibility to instruct them and to cause them to be instructed in a certain way. Not to teach them, first of all, how to walk or how to ride bike or how to survive in the world. Indeed, those things are all important. We are to teach them how to function in this life. And some of those things may come first in order, we know. For example, to teach them how to walk. But none of those things comes first in priority. The first in priority is that parents are called to instruct, to teach them to know the Lord. And we know that it is only the Holy Spirit that brings one to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But parents are given the responsibility to introduce their children. As Pastor Donovan reminded us this morning, there is what Christ has accomplished, and there is that application by the Holy Spirit, and there is that bridge. And in a sense, parents are that first bridge to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. To teach them about God. About His majesty, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. To teach them about God's covenant. And His promise that has been given to all of our children in the sacrament of baptism about salvation in Jesus Christ, which they and we with them so desperately needed because our children are born headed for hell. And therefore, beloved, that's our first task. To teach them in the ways and the service of the Lord. Moses in Deuteronomy 6 verses 6 and 7 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Impress them." Almost the idea of pressing something into a shirt that's not going to come off. But another translation says, "Teach them diligently to your children." We kind of touched on that word diligently last Sunday evening. It means with faithfulness and with perseverance. With faithfulness and perseverance, teach them about God. About His way and His word and His will. About the Holy. Teach them the Holy Scriptures, as Paul says to Timothy, are able to make you wise unto salvation. The heart of parenthood, and again, as a covenant community, as someone has said, is to show the children that there is no life outside of God, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, to quote Solomon, the beginning of knowledge, the knowledge that is needed for this life in preparation for the life to come. And that knowledge, that wisdom of God is the foundation of all that we are called to teach them. We are to teach them how to function in this life. But as believers, we also teach them to be godly citizens, to be hardworking, to be honest, to be people of integrity, to be charitable and kind and diligent. And the knowledge of the Lord is the foundation of all of that instruction. And therefore, our instruction is to be instruction with content. You see, we don't simply command them to honor us and obey us. "Because I said so" won't do. It ought to be enough for our children, but it's not enough. It ought not be enough for us as parents. Children are not animals. They're not like your dog that you can command to sit, and that dog, because it's learned to associate the sound of that word with lowering its backside, does it without asking why. without wanting a reason. Our children are not animals. When they're little, we kind of get tired of that never-ending question, why? Why? When they get older, sometimes that why comes in a bit of a defiant way. But yet when our children ask why, that is to remind us that they are created in the image of God. That they have been created able to think and reason and form their own opinions. They are created with a heart that parents have the privilege to help shape. And therefore, do you see why it is so important that we give instruction with content, teaching them why? And that content is the way and the word and the will of God. A mother's teaching here that Solomon talks about, that word teaching is the word Torah. You've heard that word. That word Torah really is a bit of a wide term. It can mean law. It can mean commandments specifically. It stands sometimes for the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. But also here in a sense of direction, with that law focus, direction, the mother's direction, showing them the way of God, showing them what is pleasing to Him, showing them the way of wisdom. Instruction with content. Yet because they are sinful and because they are wayward, that instruction is to be enforced with discipline. That's also part of of our responsibility to discipline. The mother's teaching of God, that direction is the boundaries for the child's learning and safety. And the parent's standards are to reflect God's standards, and children are able to see that. They can tell if what we say or what we do matches what we say. There has to be discipline, and there's positive discipline, there's negative discipline. Positive discipline, teaching them to function in the realm of those boundaries. Positive discipline, for example, through God's Word, fostering wise habits in the heart and the mind and the actions of the child that equips the child to navigate this life in a way that is pleasing to God. Positive discipline, teaching children good habits from the very, very beginning. The good habits of serving the Lord, of attending worship faithfully and regularly, of godly instruction in school, of a Christian way of life with honesty and integrity, of a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, of a regular pattern of devotions, and many other good, wise habits that we seek to foster in our children. Some of these things we teach them at an early age, taking them to church. I suspect that many of us, like myself, growing up in the church, which at the time I didn't see as a privilege, but now I do, I didn't want to go. I thought there was a better use of my time than to go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But it was a godly habit that my parents instilled in me. And over time as an adult, then it became a delight, a desire. But also negative discipline, because sometimes those children want to go outside of the boundaries, outside of the mother's good teaching. And it's negative in the sense, as you know, that it's sometimes painful. But correction is sometimes needed. And with the word father's instruction that Solomon gives, that word instruction includes that very idea of instruction with correction, with chastisement. Especially of wrong behavior, with the goal of teaching them how to live correctly in the fear of the Lord, understanding the danger of the foolish one. So that the wise man learns his lesson before he faces temptation and testing, that he might be equipped with those good habits, those wise habits ahead of time. Beloved, the goal of good instruction and discipline is to equip children to become self-disciplined in the way of the Lord, that they delight in that way. God, it's an awesome task, isn't it? Yet a glorious privilege as parents and those who have influence in the lives of our covenant youth to be used by God to teach our children of the only hope in Jesus Christ and of life in Him. Of all that we can teach them, of all that we can give them and maybe do give them, there's nothing greater, nothing more precious. And boys and girls and young people, you must see this. Nothing greater and nothing more precious than to learn of Jesus Christ and His saving love. You see, if a parent gives a child all the worldly things they need and even all the worldly things they want, but does not show them the way of life in Christ Jesus, that parent has only given them up to the devil and given them up to death. Boys and girls, sometimes I know that you become envious maybe of a friend that you know that has everything they ever want and gets everything they ever ask for. Please don't be envious of them. Because though you may not get everything you want or everything you ask for, yet if you have been taught about Jesus Christ, and I know that all of you here have been, then you have received a gift more precious, just that knowledge, more precious than anything that you could ever receive in this life. We're all, I suspect, most of us familiar with MapQuest. Maybe if you're a bit older and you don't mess with a computer, you don't know. But MapQuest is a site that you can go to on the computer to find directions to get to almost any place. We don't set out on a journey, generally, without figuring out, mapping out the way to go, without knowing when to turn left, when to turn right. When our children have a new driver's license and we send them out for that maiden voyage without mom or dad, we make sure they have the detailed directions on how to get to where they're going, but also how to get home again. We may not set our children on the journey of this life without the detailed directions that God gives in His Word, without equipping them with wise instruction. People of God, as believers, one and all in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called to represent God in whatever capacity He allows to equip children in the way of true life that is pleasing to God. Children, this is the God-ordained purpose of your parents. He's given them authority over you. They have responsibilities before God over you. And children then are called to honor God's gift of parents in the second place with God-appointed submission. Both these things are a part of gratitude, aren't they? Because what we have in Jesus Christ and children, we are appointed by God to be submissive. That's how we are to respond. With a God-appointed submission that recognizes their office as parents. Listen, my son, Solomon says, do not forsake. Recognize their office as parents through honor. Honor your father and mother, recognizing that parents do represent God. They do. And therefore, as Solomon says, listen, take heed, welcome, obey, be thankful for your father's instruction, and do not forsake, do not turn your back on, do not ignore, instead retain, hang on to, crave, desire your mother's teaching. The roadmap of how God calls us to live. Being thankful for the boundaries that are for our good, for our protection, and for our safety. Honor. Especially the Hebrew word means weight or weighty, not in the sense of pounds, but in the sense of importance. It describes God. God is weighty. God is of supreme importance. Nothing, no one is more important than God. And this commandment, honor your father and mother, reminds us that God, in a sense, has given some of His weight, given some of His importance, and puts it on parents and other God-given authority. And God-appointed submission that He requires is demonstrated by our attitudes and our actions toward that authority. It's so important that, as Moses points out a few different times in the first five books of that he wrote, that those who dishonored their parents were worthy of death. They were to be put to death. That was a command. Because to dishonor parents is to dishonor God. God-appointed submission that recognizes their office, but then also responds to their office and responds in the Lord. As Paul says in Ephesians, obey in the Lord. When you submit to your parents, you submit to the Lord. And the Catechism helps us to see what is all included in honor, that I honor, love, and be loyal to. That I obey and submit to, that I be patient with. Responding therefore with love. Love them. Love your parents as a gift from God for your good. We need to remember, all of us, young and old, that we came into this world stained with sin. We came into this world headed for destruction. And we came into this world physically not able to stand, not able to fend for ourselves. And God gave us the good gift of parents for our physical well-being and for our spiritual well-being. Love them as God's gift to you for your good. And love them for what they have done for you. Love them for what they have given to you. Love them for what they have kept from you. Love them for the sacrifices they have made for you. Respond also then with obedience. Love translates into obedience. Listen to them. Do what they say willingly and with joy. And especially when it's the most difficult. Especially in times of discipline and correction. Trusting that indeed it's for your good. And respond then also with faithfulness. Be loyal to, as the Catechism says. Faithfully honor them. Faithfully love them. Faithfully obey them. The idea being, persevere in it. Do not stop even for a moment. Be faithful to them. For example, young parents or young people, your parents ought to be able to depend on you. To depend on your word. To depend on you doing what you say you are doing when you're out, or depending on that you are where you say, have agreed with them, you're going to be when you go out. Don't lie to them. Don't tell them one thing and do another thing. Be faithful to them. Do not abusing and not misusing their trust. And this faithfulness is to be lifelong, even and especially when our parents get old and need their children to care for them. Jesus admonished the Pharisees because the Pharisees said, oh, we've dedicated all of our money to the temple, to the Lord, and therefore we don't have any left for our elderly parents. And Jesus made it clear that was a violation of the fifth commandment. And we are called to respond to them also then, not only with love and with obedience and with faithfulness, but also without excuse. Submit to them, even though our parents are not perfect, and also that I be patient with their failings. Submit to them, even though our parents are not perfect. Boys and girls, you probably begin to see that the older you get. For the older boys and girls, you probably have, or young people, you have an idea by now that your parents really aren't perfect, like they wanted you to think or believe. Submit to them even though they're not perfect, even though they make mistakes, even though at times they seem so unreasonable. There's only one limitation, and again, it's found in the words, in the Lord. We are called to love and serve Jesus more. We must not, we may not obey authority that calls for us to be disobedient to God, not even our parental authority in those instances. We live in a country right now that I suspect that most of us are not happy with the direction that our governing authorities are taking us. We have concerns about that. But as far as I know, as of yet, we are not being forced to do anything that would cause us to be disobedient to God. The day may very well come, beloved. And then we must heed the words of Jesus, "He who loves father or mother, brother or sister more than me is not worthy of me." On that day, we are to stand firm in Christ alone, trusting Him. That whatever may come, He will take care of us. Children are to recognize that parents have the good of them in mind, more than for just this life. That's why, boys and girls and young people, your parents do say no sometimes. Because they have your good in mind for more than just this life, but for eternity. There's no greater love of a parent than that which teaches and disciplines in the name of the Lord and desires the salvation of the child's soul and works for it with God-given authority according to God's ordained purpose to teach them. And therefore, to obey parents, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, is right. It's either wrong or right. This is right. To disobey is wrong. To obey parents, as Paul says in Colossians, pleases the Lord. And therefore, it is to be a joy to us when we realize that when we obey the governing authorities, we are ultimately submitting to Jesus as Lord. If a child will not obey and honor their parents, most likely they will not obey and honor the other authority that is meant for our good, which only leads them to foolishness and to deeds of wickedness. We see that, don't we? We see that with the breakdown of the family in our day, and in how in many ways that has caused the breakdown of society. But as God's people, we are called to honor God's gift of parents, finally, because of the God-given promise. Verse 9 says, "And they," that is, instruction and teaching, "will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." And in Exodus 20, with the command, we read the words, "that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you." In Deuteronomy 5, Moses adds to that, "that it may go well with you." You see, the God-given promise is a blessed life. That's what Israel looked forward to as they were entering into Canaan, the promised land. And they were being reminded again that the family, as we would say, is not only the church in miniature form, but it is society in miniature form. And again, the future of the church and society is shaped in the family. And obedience brings order and peace. When Solomon talks about a garland and a chain, that points to honor and respect among men. Even though the believer's faith may not be appreciated in the world, their actions of faith and their lifestyle, these things are. And oftentimes, even the unbelieving world will describe believers as good people. They're good for our society. But when it comes to this blessed life, that it may go well with you, that you may live long, there's a seeming contradiction, isn't there? Because God's people face trials and difficulties. The society attacks our Christian walk. Sometimes Christians do die young. Oftentimes the wicked do seem to have it much better off than we are, than we have it. Yet God blesses faithfulness, doesn't He? God blesses faithfulness. And children who heed their parents' good instruction and discipline by the grace of God often grow to be just and fair and wise adults, and they bless not only their own families then, but also their church and their nation. Godly citizens obey the lawful authority that God is pleased to place over them, and therefore they do not need to fear them, as Paul says in Romans 13. It's for your good. And if you're doing what's right, you don't have to worry about it. Boys and girls, if you obey the rules at home, you know that life is more enjoyable. It is more peaceful. There is less difficulty. There are a lot less hassles. Just last night, I overheard my wife telling one of our sons, "If you would just obey me, things would be more pleasing for me. And for you," she added. And how true that is. Obedience indeed brings peace, not only in the home, but also in life. We may not like all the stuff that's going on out there in the world, the attacks of Satan. Yet God blesses us with a certain peace, and as well, God's people do enjoy the respect of the world because God's people are or are to be honest and hardworking and have integrity. And often unbelievers do desire to have Christian employees because they are trustworthy and dependable, or they should be. But the wicked and the foolish, on the other hand, are not trusted. The society can see right through them. Society can see that they're out for the ill-gotten gain. That they're out to attack the innocent people. That they're out to shed innocent blood. And therefore the wicked and the foolish are thought low of. Oh, the God-given promise is indeed a blessed life for however many days of life God may give us on this earth. But ultimately a blessed eternity. And that's what we look forward to. The obedience of faith. That faith that is demonstrated by honoring God's gift of parents also then demonstrates that we belong to the family of God. That we are those who enjoy the salvation that Jesus Christ secured as the only one who perfectly honored His earthly parents and forfeited the love of His Father on the cross in order to pay for our sins that we might be brought into the family of God. Beloved, many young people in Christian families have complicated and endangered their lives because of wrong choices. Because of a wrong choice of friends, or because of the abuse of alcohol or drugs, or because of some sort of recklessness in life. Because of playing with sex, or marrying outside of the Lord, or any number of things, all against their father's instruction and their mother's teaching. Yet praise God that that does not mean that that one is lost. That does not mean that that one cannot be saved. Because our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Well, those who have complicated their lives in that way may very well live this life with the difficult consequences of those decisions instead of enjoying in this life a more full enjoyment of God's promise to those who honor His authority. But for all who turn to Jesus Christ, all who trust in Him alone, He who honored His Father all the way to death for our sins, that He might wipe out our rebellious childhood and our careless parenting, all who look to Him have the promise of a long life that never ends in the glory of heaven. Dear people of God, as parents and as believers, may we recognize and may we embrace the important place that God has given to us as instruments of Him in whatever capacity to mold and shape and direct our covenant children and youth. And as children, may we recognize and embrace our parents and all believers whom God has given to have an influence over our lives, praising God and thanking them for such love for our salvation, honoring them and therefore honoring Jesus Christ, whom they represent, rejoicing that they show us Jesus, the only way to the Father. May we honor Him as Savior and as the Lord of our lives by honoring God's gift of parents and lawful authority. Beloved, praise God for His preparation of us now to live in His presence forever under His righteous and perfect rule, which He uses for our good forever and ever. His presence where we will delight to submit to Him in all obedience. Amen. Let's pray together. Great God, Heavenly Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are reminded again of Your amazing mind, Your amazing forethought, Your amazing work for us, for our good, and also reminded of our shortcomings, our short-sightedness, and our lack of appreciation. But Father, You have given us everything that we need for our good, even when we don't particularly enjoy it. But indeed, Lord, You have blessed us with authority, the authority of parents, the authority of godly people in our lives, the authority of teachers who love You, both here in the church and in the school. The authority of godly grandparents and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters. And we thank You for them, Father, that You have placed them in our lives for our good. And we pray that You would lead us and guide us by them and through them, that we might live lives that are pleasing to You in thankfulness to Your great salvation of our souls through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, bless us as we go forward. Indeed, admonish us, encourage us, equip us, do all that we need, that indeed we might walk before You in faithfulness, in love, and rejoicing every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.